sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm ho-ho-ho-ho. I'm a ho named Johnny. Thank you.
And welcome to our annual Christmas special. This year we are reviewing It's a Wonderful Knife. As always, John will give us a plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. Before we burn the Yule log, we must go back to TV Corner.
And before we drop our Yule logs after our Thanksgiving feasts, dropping those Yule logs in the porcelain throne.
Yeah. We first have to go back to TV Corner and review episode 7 of The Fall of the House of Usher, titled The Pit and the Pendulum, or The Death of Henry Thomas.
Whose name is something.
Names aren't important. Frederick.
Frederick.
All right. Second to last episode. So we're nearing the end. This is the last kid. Before all is revealed. No, kind of obvious what's going on. But what did you think of this episode?
It kind of sounds like you saw the last episode already.
No.
Did you?
No.
I mean, it's such a bummer. This will be the last death we see.
Yeah. Truly.
We're definitely not doing two episodes today.
Yeah.
You know, I think my favorite part of this episode was potentially seeing how pure Henry Thomas is as a person and not knowing how drugs work, really, and being just melodramatic.
How do drugs work, John?
Well, I think drugs don't actively act the same way they did in the 80s where everybody was just cracked out.
Yeah. What I love about Flanagan is he always cast Thomas in like really hard parts. So he did this, you know, kind of a stretch for him, you know, coked out oldest son of this family. And then he played
Ponytail. Important.
And then he played the ghost of Jack Torrance in the Doctor Sleep. Mm-hmm. A very hard part. And he also played a molesty priest in Gerald's Game. So, I don't know, he's done other stuff with him, but those are the three that I've seen. So,
that's right. He wasn't in Midnight Mass, was he?
Was he? No, he was, wasn't he?
I don't think so. Was he?
I thought he was one of the guys who was aging. Am I crazy about that?
Oh, you're probably de-aging. Right. I think he was the dad. Yeah, the dad of what's his face, who is young Roderick, right?
Because I know that the boss of this show was definitely de-aged. Henry Thomas.
Yeah, Ed Flynn. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was the.
Yeah, one of the older guys, church guys. I think he had a wife.
No, he was the dad. I was right. He was the dad of Zach Guilford.
But he de-ages, right? Because he's a vampire or whatever.
Yeah, he's one of the people that kind of stays behind to die with the rest of the...
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so The Fall of House of Usher, huh? Not my favorite episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think that again, there were some nice moments, some really nice cruel moments.
Yeah,
because you know, when
I feel like the death happened the quickest out of any of them.
Yeah, and I think that what was it when Roderick has that self-aware thing where he's like, he's talking to Dupin and he's like, what does he say that? Oh, they usually, my kid shows off in the distance and he drops in and scares me and panics me. But this time it's his little kid. Robert, it was young child, Frederick and his mom.
Frederick.
And I thought that was like, oh man, what a cruel. Just
throwing random ass names at him. That's what I do. Yeah. Oh yeah, Charles. Poor Charles Usher.
Charles Usher. The Usher nobody talks about.
And then the Usher who was too big to fail had classics like My Way, and that's the only song I remember by him. the only Usher song I know.
Frank Sinatra Usher. And then, but yeah, so I thought that was a particularly spin on what we had seen, and then just like a really nice, like, no, yeah, this guy's gonna, they're gonna make him feel all his kid's death and die. Yeah, because
this one was sad because I guess by that point he already knew how Frederick died, which is like a tease, I guess. I mean, it's, you know how he's gonna die. But you see the kid, like half of his body just kind of like falls off and all these like guts and shit spill out. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was peculiar because when you see Ghost Frederick, he's all one person, I think. But whatever. I will say the ending of this episode was like the one part where I was like, oh, this made the episode worth it,
mm-hmm.
I guess. When Madeline convinces Roderick to drink poison to kill himself, and then Verna's like, no, you're not getting off that easy.
Yeah.
And like revives him, makes him throw up.
Mm-hmm. And they, we kind of see in play that Madeline was trying to basically take over. She basically manipulated the board. She basically was going to try to be the boss or whatever over Roderick.
Yeah.
So
I guess what the, she also has that long conversation with Verna, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Where Verna's like, well, these seats are meant to be for the boys when they show up, but we can use them for now.
Yeah.
And she tries to hurt Verna and she apologizes. She doesn't understand what Verna's trying to tell her, which I'm like, why don't she understand that? All she did was speak in like long poems and rhymes and riddles. What are you confused about? I went back to re-listen to what she said.
Yeah.
That poem, which I'm sure is like an Edgar Allan Poe thing. But I was like, I feel like there's a bit of reaching going on here.
She grasped all of it. Yeah, and I guess Madeline tries to negotiate out of the deal they made, which flaw of the show, among others, is that how do they not remember this night? It's like the most important night of both their lives, this deal they struck with Verna. So it's a little frustrating.
Which, yeah, I hope it pays off when we watch the last episode, which I totally haven't yet.
Yeah.
Because it'd be real annoying if it was just like, what if you were guaranteed this, right? What if, right? And then them simply saying, no, that's what we want to do is enough to make a contract.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Anyway, but I haven't seen the last episode.
No, so no, it could be great.
And I'm wondering why Roderick is still just hanging out in front of that basement area or whatever.
I don't know.
I know you had mentioned that you think that they killed and buried the guy in that wall, but I mean, until we figure out what's in that wall, I'm going to say I don't think so. Because we definitely haven't seen the last episode yet.
I thought you were talking about what's going on in the basement.
Oh yeah,
of the house.
Oh yeah,
because we haven't seen the last episode yet.
We haven't seen the last episode, and it doesn't churn comical sort of.
It's for no reason.
Unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we haven't seen the last episode. We're only talking about this episode where Frederick dies. He gets cut in half.
Yeah, I don't know if I particularly enjoyed Frederick's descent to darkness. Because I mean, he's always seemed a little... I mean, since the first episode, he seemed kind of dumb, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, very... Like, he's the oldest one who's manipulated or whatever. And for him to have this turn... And I don't think we've really got a clear... explanation about the phone. That didn't lead anywhere.
The phone?
I could have sworn Pym gave him a phone and gave it to Roderick, and Roderick was like, it was your wife's. We can't figure out whose it is. And so I thought Frederick was kind of like obsessing about what was on the phone.
Oh, to see if she actually did fuck Perry.
Yeah.
I think that was just, they're going to keep it like that so he would just be more angry as the days go by, and that's why he becomes more sadistic.
Well,
like, fucks up her mouth and all that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the last episode, I have one more episode, so hopefully that gets resolved.
Sure, yeah.
Not a plot hole.
Hey, I also love that one of the wrecking balls that they use in this thing is kind of like a sharp blade for some reason.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Because why not? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how demolition teams work, I guess. You know, you have the wrecking ball, you have the bulldozers, and then you have the classic thing that swings like a pendulum, which, you know, everybody has in their arsenal when they're demoing buildings.
Yeah, I guess because that's how Verna wanted to kill him, right? I thought it was interesting that she told him what his life would have been had he had not.
Oh, she started doing that. Yeah.
Had he had, his family had not taken the deal.
Yeah, dentist, right?
He was supposed to be a dentist, something? Yeah.
He was supposed to be a really good one, too.
Yeah. And I think they even said Roderick was supposed to be a poem, right?
A poet.
A poet. A poor poet.
He's supposed to be Edgar Allan Poe.
So
that's who he's supposed to be.
So what did we say? That there's no Edgar Allan Poe in this universe?
No, I'm assuming not.
That we missed it.
Yeah. That because they took this deal, Edgar Allan Poe never existed.
Yeah.
Like 2,000 years before them or whatever.
2,000 years?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
That checks out. That math checks out.
Because this is the year. That's the thing. The way they all talk and the way they talk about timelines, I'm like, what fucking year is this supposed to be? Yeah. And then I find out that Roderick is only 70. And I'm like, what the fuck? They keep making it seem like he's 100 or something. Some bullshit like that.
Then
you live longer than most men. Because I finally did the timing. They show a year No, I don't know what I'm talking about. I haven't seen the last episode yet. I have no idea what the tombstones say.
Well, no, because he says he's 1980. They're doing the New Year's Eve for 1980.
No, I know, but when he's in his life right now talking to Dupin, they keep making it seem like, oh, you've lived longer than most men and blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, oh, how old is he? He's got to be like ancient and he just looks good for his age. Like, nope, he's 70.
You know, I constantly think about that because, you know, they recast this part. Franklin Jello was originally cast in this part, but was fired. He actually shot all the scenes, but was fired because of alleged allegations of sexual allegations or something like that.
Oh shit. Okay.
So Flanagan fired him and they brought in Bruce Greenfield. So,
which is something I hear Frank is known for.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Well, yeah, they actually did something. Flanagan did something. He fired him. Which Bruce Greenwood is a totally underrated actor. Fabulous actor. So it's not, so it's the win there. But I still think about like what he would have brought to the part, right? Like he's much, much older, you know, than Greenwood. Yeah. So
I don't know. Yeah, but again, finding out that he's only 70, and I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
70's still pretty old. He's probably done, what, like 40 years of this?
Sure, but that's why I keep saying, like, it's not... 70's not that old, really.
It's past retirement age.
Oh, man. I don't know what jobs you're working, but... Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that's why I wasn't sure what the timeline was supposed to be, because they were never, like, you know, not understanding what fucking Siegel's age is supposed to be was frustrating. But I'm assuming she's like 40 or something. Siegel?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Perry's 25, so...
I think she was miscast. But we just keep that to ourselves. No.
Anyway, that's this episode of All the House of Usher. I don't know what else we can say about it.
That wraps up our thoughts.
Kind of an uninteresting episode.
No, there were some nice moments in it, but yeah, it essentially, I think this is the inherent flaw of the show, is that like we have to, it's laid down the idea that we got to kill a kid every episode. But I don't think they spend enough time with the kids to get to know them, kind of get in their psyche, even though the whole episode's developed around the individual kid. But I don't think they develop enough of the kid and the relationship. So when they die, it's kind of like, okay, well, they're dead. You know, it's not much.
Yeah.
There's not much there per se. So.
And I gotta say, I think it was a bad move giving Michael Famagonari the last couple episodes to like end out the thing, because he's a fantastic cinematographer. I just don't think he's a good director.
Yeah, we have noticed the difference in quality when we notice when Flanagan's directing, or we notice when Michael is. So
yeah, because I feel like it's the same content, right?
Yeah,
it's just I think Flanagan knows how to make mundane things look a little more interesting, or you know,
usually has really good monologues, very minimal, not a lot of camera movement, but she's just kind of impressed upon the acting in it. She's usually really good.
Yeah.
So,
and another flaw of doing a show like this with somebody, you gotta like, the episodes can't look drastically different because you want to make your mark. That's not how television is supposed to work, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should have like a consistent look throughout the series.
Yeah.
Because people inherently, or not unconsciously, they think, you know, there's something different about the way this looks or feels or something. These two directors probably had two vastly different ways to go about the episodes, I would imagine. Because we sense it, we feel it. So,
which I'm wondering, I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's been Mike Flanagan's DP for the past like decade or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since the beginning of his career, maybe? I don't know.
That would make sense. He tends to bring people on and keep some. You know, I think the younger Roderick stuff doesn't work. I don't think it works.
Yeah, I agree.
It kind of sets up, you know, some stuff, but I don't think it's like, because like we have to get to the part where they make a deal, right? But to have all that other stuff and kind of feels almost shoehorned, like from his like rise up to it. It almost want to say like this would have worked better if it was like just flashback stuff, and this was like the main storyline. Totally. You know?
Because right now, and I hope the last episode doesn't play out like this, it kind of feels like they keep doing these past scenes and making it seem like big reveals of shit we already know.
Yeah, it's conclusions we've already.
Like, okay, I don't need this explained to me twice.
Yeah,
in the same episode.
One of the big linchpins of the first episode was who the rat was, right? Who was talking to the government? That's already been dispelled. We already know he made it up. So it's kind of like that went nowhere.
I feel like, yeah, that should have been a dupe and reveal for the very end, like the last episode, maybe.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. But we have one more episode, so we'll see if... Yeah. What happened?
What could they possibly do in the last episode to shock you? You know, take somebody's eyes out, their tongue, and... I'm just kidding. And the wandering around namelessly.
Yeah.
Just really running into walls as hard as they can, I guess. Sorry. Because that would be funny if you're watching this entire series wondering, like, what's down there? What's making all this noise? And just be strange if it was unexpectedly somebody running into walls as hard as they can for no reason. Anyway, cool. So that was Fall of the Ass-Masher.
That was Fall of the
episode
seven. One more. Let's hope they land the plane here. So. Alrighty,
And speaking of landing planes, Laura Lee didn't land her plane.
That's one of your five word plot summary. So.
Yeah, there you go. Bam.
Bam.
Two more to go.
All right, let's open presents, turn on the Christmas tree, drop our logs, and review It's a Wonderful Knife. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary. Rolando, drum roll, please. I'll give you the plot in five words for It's a Wonderful Knife. Oh, oh, It's a Wonderful Knife. Missed opportunity there.
It was. Yeah.
Coming in at number three. This is actually just an inspired idea for a new horror app called streaming app, the Knife Time Channel.
Yeah.
I was like, they could make a bunch of movies like this, and then I would watch them. coming in at number two, Angel kills off non-whites. Did you notice that?
Yeah, a little bit.
There's like one black person that might come back.
Oh no!
After everything is resolved, but all the other people die and they're dead.
She's never mentioned again.
Except in like, I miss my friend, and then that kind of gets dropped.
Yeah.
Anyway, and coming in at number one for It's a Wonderful Knife, Yellow Jackets, Yellow Jackets. That's it. That was my number one.
Yeah. It's a Wonderful Knife, written by Michael Kennedy, a favorite of ours who wrote Freaky. Is it Freaky or Freak? Freaky.
Freaky. You know, you're right.
And, you know, he is... Not only did he write a great movie, he has a lot of, like, social media presence. If you read, like, his Instagram, he's always talking about horror movies, slasher movies. You know, he's kind of a nut. He's a huge film fan. So I thought he... I think he put out that this movie was gonna... It kind of came out of nowhere that it was gonna come out. It's a Wonderful Knife, inspired by...
Yeah. It seemed kind of sudden.
Yeah, inspired by... I guess it had like a little bit of a limited theatrical run before it went to Shudder, which is where you can find it and watch the movie. It's kind of like a spin on It's a Wonderful Life. And yeah. Which he said that was like his dad's favorite movie. So it's coming from a place of, you know, nostalgia. And John, what did you think of It's a Wonderful Life?
Well, it's interesting. It was okay. I want to say I thought it was a lot of fun. And one of the rare times where I'm going to say the movie could have been longer, I think, to really flesh things out. Because I felt like it was kind of rushing towards stuff like midway through just to get to the end.
Yeah, because we had to have the It's a Wonderful Life ending.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of mixed on it. I did enjoy the first half of the movie. And then... Yeah,
dialogue-wise, I feel like it starts to fall apart towards the end, too. I don't know if that's supposed to be an inspired, like, Lifetime channel sort of dialogue thing going on towards the end of the movie, but... I don't know if it was corny for corny's sake or if it was just like bad dialogue.
Yeah, because he tends to do funny stuff. I mean, not funny stuff, but he usually has like hilarious jokes in his horror because he likes slashers and he just to add all these like elements, you know, and like add a little bit of comedy. I think his favorite series is Scream. So, you know, Scream is known for its, you know, comedy.
Is that why Laura Lee has the what's her name? Fucking got canceled because she tried to bring her show back. Drew Barrymore. She has a Drew Barrymore haircut from Scream. Laura Lee does.
Oh, does she? Oh, I didn't know this. I know that there's an Aunt Gail, which
that's right. Gail Weathers.
Yeah. Catherine.
But as far as like dialogue, like the very last thing you're left with, which is not a spoiler, I don't think, but I gotta stop calling her Laura Lee. Her name is Winnie in the movie. Yeah. Winnie says like, "Oh, come on, blah blah blah, weirdo," and the girl playing Bernie Sanders, Bernie Simon, is like, "Don't call me that." And then the very last thing you're left with is like, "You got it, Bernie." And it was just like, "What?
Yeah,
is that it?" It's
yeah. It's a little. I'll say this. If there are any like subtle references to It's a Wonderful Life, I'm not gonna get them.
Yeah,
it's a movie that I've seen, but you know, it's more like I've seen it, but it's more I know more about it through pop culture. You know?
Yeah. Like I only really remember like the bridge thing where he's trying to jump off the bridge and then. Remember, because he's like, "Oh, I gotta jump off this bridge." That guy, he does that, right? And then he's like carrying his kid, and the bell rings, and he's like, "Oh, I wonder what that means." And then his kid is like, "Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings." And I don't think I ever got that reference in the movie, unless it was, and I just didn't pay attention.
I think there's a subtle reference at the end of it, not a very good one, but a subtle one.
Oh, gotcha.
To it, but yeah, it was a little underwhelming. I think as soon as we get to the alternative timeline, I think things kind of, the logic of the movie kind of falls apart a little bit, you know?
It's a little strange.
It's a little weird.
That's what I'm saying, like, it could have been longer to explain certain things, because I was like, I don't understand why this is happening this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's like a mass hysteria psychosis thing going on or mm-hmm. something, or...
Like a cult, almost like, definitely cult inspired, even, you know, like possession, like not possession, but you know, like they were hypnotized or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because they all had blue eyes.
They all had blue eyes for reasons, right?
Yeah. And then, also, we have a switch in... Well, not switch in killers, but there's an additional killer now, very Scream-like,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty obvious already. I don't know. I mean, it was to me. It was like immediately like, oh, okay, well, this is the second killer now for sure.
Before they revealed it, yeah, I had figured it out, yeah. But yeah, I hadn't noticed, but until they reveal literally the sequence before that, I figured out who the quote-unquote second killer would be. What did you think of Justin Long in this? Because, I mean, I feel like he's really good at this stuff where he has to invent these kind of bigger
characters. Yeah, larger than life characters.
But
I think he's the only one that was like, okay, this is supposed to be like It's a Wonderful Life, so I got to do that wholesome bullshit, but it's also like Hallmarky. I think he was the only person that had like a very inspired character,
mm-hmm.
but I think because he was so vastly different than everybody else, exactly. it made him seem kind of goofy.
Yep, that's everybody else in the show is pretty normal. I mean,
I would argue to say kind of flat with like what their choices were. They're just like
right.
going with it.
He was the only eccentric character.
And
I'm pretty sure he's just following, you know, he's just going along with the direction and like, this is what we want you to do, you know, but it does kind of stick out a little bit, and it's, don't think it's his fault. It's just the way the movie is, you know, how the decisions they made about how to portray the character.
Yeah. So I'm wondering about this director. I'm not familiar with him.
I think I looked it up. He did Tragedy Girls, which is the only thing I noticed. which I haven't seen.
Oh, and he did the screen story for Five Nights at Freddy's. That checks out.
Good stuff. Oh, good stuff.
Because, yeah, it kind of feels like an early directorial effort.
Right.
And it seems like he's mostly an editor.
I kind of feel like they were trying to, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, like they were trying to do like Lifetime, but like horror movie.
Yeah.
Which totally didn't work, right?
No, it didn't make much sense, to be honest. Because I don't think everybody was on the same page. That's why I'm saying it feels like an early director effort, because he couldn't get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, he didn't really have like strong tone. I feel like as dumb as of a plot, I Know What You Did Last Summer is, it's grounded really well and shot well to where you know what I mean? It's feels like a horror movie. You know what I mean? This one kind of had weird tone shifts.
Yeah. Also, I feel like I don't want to talk too much shit. Like design wise, it just wasn't there. Everything was so bland, and that like really could have added a whole different element. Like if they made it very Lifetimey or Hallmarky, then like all this like gore in front of it would have looked really cool. But everything was very dark, and there wasn't a whole lot going on. I feel like a lot of the shots were just looking up at like a black sky with the character in the foreground.
Could have been a budget thing too. That's my first guess.
Oh, they spent all their money on Justin
Long. Joe McHale taking all the money.
Joe McHale worked for free.
Hey, working for free, bro.
And then Laura Lee. I mean,
yeah.
Just kidding.
She was excellent in it too. I really liked her.
She was great. Her and the Bernie character were great.
I liked. Was it Catherine Isabel? It was Gail. I thought she was really good. And she's the girl from... was it...
Ginger Snaps.
Yes. Ginger Snaps, yes.
She's Ginger.
She's Ginger who snaps. Yes.
She's also... right, the one actress that refused to show her boobies in Freddy vs. Jason.
Yep.
Yeah, she was great. I mean, I thought all the kids, the teenage actors were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all made choices. I just think, like, the adults didn't. I don't know why, but...
Yeah.
Like, the popular kids, I thought they were pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the movie's kind of underwhelming, huh? I'm trying to think of, like, more stuff with it. And again, like, I didn't have a bad time. It was just kind of like, well, I feel like nothing was resolved.
I think the second part of this, second half of this movie, I think, like, kind of falls apart a little bit, narrative-wise. Though I really liked a lot of the performances, you know. Winnie... Well, that was great, seeing her from Yellow Jackets do something else. And I felt like I actually felt like she carried the whole movie. She's like almost like in every scene in this movie, and she was a really good lead.
Do you think she made that wish, and the reason she kept telling Bernie like, oh, it didn't feel like anything, it just happened. But what really happened was she woke up and there was a plane crash in the middle of like a forest. And then she found a plane and she believed in God so much that she flew the plane and it blew up. And then she showed up there in the alternate timeline.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought. To your question, yes.
I don't know. There's a couple things I want to say, but I think we have to go into spoilers first.
Okay. Do you want to go into spoilers?
I think so. Unless you think there's something else we could talk about. I'm not sure, because the movie just, like you said, halfway through, it just kind of starts
making choices. Things are just happening. Yeah. Big choices are happening everywhere. And you said you weren't overly familiar with It's a Wonderful Life either, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know I've seen the movie, but that was when I was a kid.
Right.
Which unfortunately was a long time ago now.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's black and white. What is this? Something wrong to the TV.
It's also not for nothing, but we grew up in South Texas and are very Mexican, and this is not a holiday traditional movie for us.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And then the Selena movie, because I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, why not? We got family. Throw it on. Good music to the end.
to the end.
Spoilers. She dies. Alrighty. Alrighty. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. So, it was for Bernie, decidedly, at the end is what it felt like.
Yeah.
Because what...
was she the angel that gets her wings? Right? Is that what...
I guess yeah. So, yeah. Well, because she was going to kill herself.
Yes.
And then you find this big reveal where Justin Long slept with... or was cheating with her mom, and her dad saw this, and her dad just hightailed it out, and then that made her mom... like, everybody just becomes bad people in this town because it's so small, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand. But... like, instead of making better choices, I don't know.
Because they do say something like, no, I'm George Bailey and you're George. You know what I mean? Like, the name of Jimmy Stewart's character in the movie. It's like, I'm George, you're Clarence. No, I'm Clarence, you're George. Or something like that, right? Or,
yeah.
And I guess those are... if we had... you know, actually had known a little bit more about the movie, we could have gotten that reference. Yeah.
But it's like that stuff, I guess I understand, but it's more of what confused me was what's her name? Winnie. Mm-hmm. A year after all the murders happened, right, and you find out Justin Long, the mayor, was trying to kill off some of the smaller businesses that weren't agreeing because he wanted to sell the town or
no
control the town.
He wanted, No, go ahead.
Apartments or something, condos or some bullshit.
He wanted to make a like mall, a giant. He wanted to make the Grove over there. He wanted to make the Cove.
The Cove, yeah.
So that was his plan, and the other businesses weren't allowing him to.
And in Angel Falls, which I did have to Google. I'm like, what was the place?
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers took place at? Yeah, and it was like, no, Angel Grove. Okay.
Yeah. It could also be a reference to Cherry Falls. So.
Or Twin Peaks. Or Let's Twin
just
Peaks.
Go. Just making stuff up.
But yeah, her and her brother stop Justin Long from killing more people, which he randomly starts killing people one night in that outfit. And then a year passes by and she's very sad, and it's just because her family never really let her grieve because everything turned out for the better for everybody else except for her and her friends that are dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, strange too, that nobody seemed to give a shit.
Yeah.
And then what, like, her boyfriend had been cheating on her since that day. Everybody started killing, or since Justin Long was killing people. Like, her life is just kind of going down the shitter. And she's the only person that was nice to Bernie because everybody hates Bernie for whatever reason. that was never explained either.
No,
like,
just
like, we don't like her because she's weird. And I guess it's assumed that she was forced to be a social pariah because the mayor didn't want that to get leaked, that he was cheating with the mom or something is what I was assuming. So he purposely made their life bad. So nothing, because he's very, he keeps secrets, I guess, is what I'm gathering.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever. But she makes a wish because the Aurora Borealis is seeing an Angel Falls, which never happens in this mythical place.
Yeah.
And then the Aurora Borealis grants her wish. But it might have been Justin Long's spirit trying to seek revenge.
Okay.
Is what was kind of explained by Bernie, and I'm like, okay, sure.
All right.
And then she has very little time before the Aurora Borealis goes away to, I don't know, reconcile
yeah,
her life decision to want to be dead or not exist. I don't know.
You nailed it, John. You nailed it. You got it all.
I'm not saying it makes any sense. I'm just saying that's what they were trying to explain.
Yeah.
But she kills her... Joe McHale, her plays her dad, even though she doesn't exist in this universe. Oh, she befriends Bernie. That's important to know, because Bernie's the only person that's going to be friends with her, because she's a social pariah for whatever reason. Joe McHale becomes the new second killer, like the Matthew Lillard killer.
Well, I think part of it is because she's weird, just because she's a lesbian, right?
Well, I don't even know if, like, because... They don't play that with her sister, her older sister or aunt or whatever. She's gay too. She's got a wife.
Like, yeah.
And then they gift her like a pink tracksuit, and she makes a comment about being like a older lesbian outfit or something.
Yeah.
Which I guess was supposed to be like a little foreshadowing of her being gay, and I thought that was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, in retrospect, I was like, that was a horrible...
They needed to set that up better, that she was going to have this turn.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Her life is wonderful now because she's not going to be with men. She's going to be with the weird girl. There's a message there. There's a really strong message there somewhere.
Yeah.
yeah. But yeah, you know, she kills her dad. Oh, no, it's not fixed. They're like, I guess we got to kill Justin Long, which is like, I thought pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And then they do.
Pretty easily.
There's not much of a fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at all. Yeah. In fact, Justin Long gets beat up, like punched several times, and just keeps getting back up like he's angry and calls them sluts.
Yeah. As you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Then finally they stab him and he gets back up again, but then they're able to like unhypnotize the town, and the town decides to stomp him to death. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about, but an entire town is in on killing the mayor of the town, which, you know, is not something that happens in whatever the place is, says Canada or Utah or I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
No idea.
Angel Falls.
Angel Falls. Yeah. Yeah. Angel Falls next to Angel Grove.
Yeah. Gotta try the cove.
Yeah, and that's the movie.
Yeah.
She makes her wish. She exists again, and somehow Bernie remembers everything for just whatever reason. They need to end the movie. That's what happens. Bernie remembers everything.
We're not gonna break up the lesbian couple. So
no, they gotta stay in love.
Stay in love.
And then that's where that last line where they're already inside the house, and it's just like a voiceover of them looking at the front door of this beautiful house, I guess, and just, oh, come on, weirdo, we gotta go do this. And Bernie's like, you are not allowed to call me that anymore. And she's like, you got it, Bernie. And end credits.
It's a wonderful knife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, instead they had some other like really shitty song.
Another shitty, I forgot weird what it was, like pop song, yeah.
Like, it was terrible. I was like, I need this to be over. I started like scrolling through because I read that there was like an end credits thing.
Oh.
It's the knife. It's just the knife.
For a sequel, obviously.
Sure. I mean, all it is the knife. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm glad I scrolled all the way through the end for this. Yep, and that's that movie. It's a Wonderful Knife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. That's accurate. You kind of broke it down pretty accurately.
And I realize that sometimes I do breakdowns of movies that I just... I don't know what to say about them,
mm-hmm,
other than let me break down what happened in this movie so you can decide whether it's worth watching, because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But people die pretty brutally. Like the it's pretty gory. It's fun when it happens.
Yeah. I think they could have, instead of doing the dad thing, the dad being the killer and then being faked out, it's not really him. They could have like maybe done a long, elaborate plan of Justin Long showing his true colors or something.
Well, I thought his brother was going to be one of the killers too, but I was like, he's kind of the Dewey character.
Yeah. Yeah. With the only...
Even though in the... Like, before she made the wish, he kind of comes up in like a weird way. It kind of reminded me of the Jimmy Simpson character on It's Always Sunny. Like, he's just very weird and a Poyle-like. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you killed my brother and everything seems to be going good for you. It's like, oh, okay. So he always depended on his brother to like help him make a career.
Yeah, I could have been like, they could have I don't know. Like you said, like gone one way or the other in terms of like the tone of the movie.
Yeah. And they decided on both.
So we got nothing. It's just real. It's the odd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're going to be strong women. So there's not going to be any sort of fight whatsoever.
Yeah.
Except her. It's going to be her dad. So there's going to be conflict. Also, they're gay. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's how they decided on this movie.
I wish they would have telegraphed that better, though. You know, like maybe she doesn't like sleeping with her boyfriend, or you know what I mean, stuff like that. Like she doesn't. This is her first boyfriend. And he's
because the whole like reveal of him cheating on her with that other woman, the other
friend,
the popular cheerleader or whatever, which in the alternate timeline clearly they're in love.
Yeah, that was funny.
So the guy is just happier without her, right? And then he mentions something like, well, it's not like you've really been present this entire time. And I'm like, oh dude, like what is this? It reminded me of like a really watered down Midsommar storyline between them.
Yeah. I don't think, like, for a slasher, I kind of feel like the kills were okay. They started off pretty good, right? Like, for beginning kills with the angel masked character, you know?
Yeah.
Those are pretty good kills, pretty good stuff. Well shot, like, horror, you know, slasher film. But then it kind of just... Once we get into like this alternative timeline thing or whatever, kind of just like that all goes away and it never really gets back to that, I feel.
No, not quite. There's also, you get the reveal of the killer. Well, the main killer right away, like the first, 20 minutes of the movie. So there isn't any room to do that thing with where slashers always somehow have like superhuman abilities until they're revealed to just be human, and people feel like they can fight them easier. I think that was really too early, and maybe that's why there is no real. There weren't any real fights. Like anytime somebody died, it was always because they got surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
By somebody wearing a full-on fucking plastic mask, which I swear they can't see through, but...
Yeah. So I
was like, just duck down, fall to the ground, he's not going to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay. Do I add anything else before we rate it?
No.
Okay.
I think that's it. I think I explained the entire movie.
Pretty much.
As best I could.
Yeah. All right, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, oh. 4.5 sexy, spooky holiday bones.
Yeah, I'm going to give it... I'll give it a 5. I thought it was pretty average. So...
Yeah.
Disappointed slightly, but pretty average.
I guess that's why I can't give it a 5. It's close.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible movie.
pretty watchable. For Shudder. Sure. It's a Shudder level movie.
You know what? Because I would put this on par with like Slaughterfest, where it's
whoa. what are we saying here?
Well, because I enjoyed the sloth parts of Slaughterfest. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. No.
It was the rest of the movie where I'm like, eh.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I kind of was like, okay, I'm game. Let's watch this. Yes, this is a cool. Yeah, nice twist on a classic Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And then it just, what's going on? Just like all this random stuff is happening. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Why is Justin Long honing in his, what was the name of that guy famously like fucking tanned to a crisp all the time and had like ultra white teeth? He was like famous in the, he was a famous actor from the 70s and then became famous in the 80s for looking the same exact way.
George Byrne?
Not George Burns. It'll come to me later, I'm sure. Right now, I can't think of it. He had like a beauty mark right here. He was always
George
like,
something, isn't it?
Santos, George.
George Santos, yeah. He was white.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, hold on.
George.
Keep talking.
The Jungle. No, because George Burns is, what's his name from? Oh God, You Devil and Oh God and all that, right?
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. It was not, no, not George Burns. He wasn't
George Lopez? No,
he was in Godfather 3. That's my pull. It's Godfather 3.
Oh, there you go.
Hold on. I'm closer.
George Hamilton.
Ah, there it is.
Yes. I was about to say he's in Zorro the Gay Blade, and I was just like,
we just opened these obscure. What's his most popular movie he was in? Let's see.
I clicked on his thing and he's known for Zorro the Gay Blade. I'm like, nobody's seen that movie. Come on.
Not much, I guess. He's still alive, huh?
Oh, yeah. Still tanning.
Still tanning.
Well, that's It's a Wonderful Life. Oh.
Alrighty. Stop looking at George Hamilton's IMDb. All right, guys, gals, not binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.